Welcome to the Australia Sews podcast. This podcast celebrates the Australian home sewing community and shares stories from everyday sewers transforming their lives and their wardrobes. My name is Louise Sherry. My special guest today, all the way from Tasmania, is Janelle Duff from Rosary Apparel. After you watch a Rosary Apparel video on YouTube, it's hard not to get hooked. Janelle has captured the attention of sewers all around the world through her many creative talents, like turning a vintage bedsheet into a stunning everyday dress. We chat about so many things, from her pattern line to her videos, her passion for ethical and sustainable sewing, and her unique style. You can find more about Janelle and everything she does at rosaryapparel.com. But for now, here's the gingham-loving Janelle. Hi, Janelle. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Before we get to know you a bit better, can you tell our listeners what you are wearing today?
Yes. I am wearing what I like to call my perfect everyday dress. It's basically a pattern hack of my Rosa pattern, and I've made it out of some black and white gingham, my all-time favorite. And I love this dress so much, I'm actually in the process of making it into its own separate pattern because it's, I don't know, something I wear all the time, and it is quite a bit of an intensive pattern hack. So hopefully that will make it easier for other people to make it as well.
What did you hack exactly? Sorry, did you hack the sleeves or the bodice?
Yes, the sleeves are completely different. They're like long and puffy, and it's quite an oversized fit, which means it's super comfortable, hence why I pretty much wear it every single day. It is just perfect. Like the perfect amount of casual, if that makes sense, because I feel like I can wear it to the supermarket. I can wear it around home. I can wear it out for dinner. It's just...
And no fastenings.
It does have a zip at the back just to make it a little bit, you know, easier to get on and off because the neck is quite high and small. So it needs a bit of an opening there as well. But, yeah, very comfortable though. And because it is well and truly winter here in Tasmania, like it is freezing, I am also wearing my mustard popcorn cardigan that I made for myself last year, I think it was. And basically it just has a whole heap of bobbles all over it, which just adds a really fun texture, and it's just so fun to wear, and it's one of my proudest makes.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
I'm so proud of it. A lot of work went into it, so.
Because I know you're a knitter.
Yes. Yeah.
You have many talents, actually, which hopefully we have time to go through them all.
Oh,
because it's not just sewing and it's not just knitting. There are other things as well.
Yeah.
Very talented.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Are you from Launceston or a neighbouring suburb of Launceston?
No, Launceston. Yep. I was born here and I've lived here my whole life.
Wow.
Yeah.
We went there last year.
Where are you from?
I'm from Sydney.
Sydney.
Now, I wasn't born and raised in Sydney, but we went to Tasmania last year for the very first time in my life.
Oh,
in between lockdowns. Oh, yeah. Loved it.
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a lot easier to get around in a car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, public transport is hopeless here. You need a car. Yeah. That's the only thing, the only downside. But yeah, I love it here. It's a beautiful place.
If anyone has never been, and you know, once COVID and everything passes, try and get down to Tassie. Maybe not in winter, unless you want to.
Yeah, winter's a bit harsh. I recommend autumn though. Autumn is beautiful.
Mm.
But the summers are nice as well. Yeah.
So you are the face behind and in front of the brand Rosary Apparel. For those of our listeners who are not familiar with the brand, what is Rosary Apparel all about?
Well, Rosary Apparel is, I like to think of it as kind of a corner of the internet where I have a community of people and we are obsessed with all things sewing and making your own clothes. And I have a YouTube channel where I teach people how to make their own wardrobes and I guess be confident in wearing their handmade clothing as well. And alongside my YouTube channel, I also sell sewing patterns on the side as well. Again, that I use throughout my videos to teach people how to sew.
So you actually launched Rosary Apparel in 2016, is that right?
Pretty much since I was a teenager, I've had some sort of like, whether it be an Etsy shop or something, like some kind of little business. But Rosary Apparel started in 2016, yeah.
And you actually started doing it full time. Was it last year in 2021?
Yeah, 2020. I went full
during
time
COVID.
With it. Yeah, right. Because when pretty much COVID started. Yeah.
Many people really dream about turning their hobby into a business. Yeah. Why did you decide to make that leap and actually do it?
Yeah, it was always a huge goal of mine to be able to work for myself. I'm very introverted. So even though I liked working in a team, it was very draining for me. So working for myself definitely suits me a lot better. And obviously just being able to have the freedom of choosing what you're going to do that day and working on something you love has always been something I've wanted to do full time as well. And it was a really tricky thing to take the leap, but I eventually got Rosary Apparel to a point where I was making more through that than my job at the time, which was at Spotlight, actually. And even then I was so nervous because obviously the pandemic just kind of started and I didn't know how long, you know, YouTube was just kind of picking up for me and I wasn't sure if that was just like a phase or, you know, there was a lot of things going on that
self-doubt.
It could all crumble. Yeah, all the self-doubt. But my husband is super supportive and he basically was like, let's write a pros and cons list. And we did that. And ultimately the pros way outweighed the cons. And so I handed in my notice and took the leap. And I'm so glad I did.
How long did you contemplate doing it? How long did that process take?
I would say it's hard to remember. I think at least a month I was dwelling on it. Yeah, and because of the pandemic as well, retail, I don't know if you remember, retail just went crazy, and especially
sewing,
Spotlight.
Yeah,
it was not the best environment to be working in at the time. Like, it was very stressful, and I was like, that's kind of the sealing the deal for me. Like, I'm not enjoying this as much as I was, and I really want to do this full time, so I'm just, it made the choice a little bit easier in the end as well. But, yeah, really, my husband just, he really pushed me to do it, which I'm really grateful for because, yeah, I have not regretted it. It's been great.
Were you working in the fabric department at Spotlight?
Yes. Yep. Nearly full time. Like, I was there pretty much every single day and I did love it. Like, obviously working with fabrics every day was so fun and I learned a lot too. Like, I feel like everything I learned from that job I've been able to bring along with me to my YouTube because I've learned so much about all the different fabrics and just talking to the customers every day, learning what they were doing with the fabrics, and you just pick up things all the time every single day, and it really has been so beneficial for what I do now. So even when people ask questions in the comments, I like feel like I'm better equipped because of that job. So yeah, it was a really good thing.
So ethical and sustainable sewing is really important to you and your brand. Can you explain what you mean by ethical and sustainable sewing?
Well, so when I first started sewing, and like one of the reasons I really wanted to get into it, I was a teenager, so I didn't have much money. So the clothes I was buying were very cheap because I couldn't afford anything else. And I was just appalled by how bad quality they were, basically. And I would wear them for a couple months max and they would start falling apart and then you just have to throw them out, which was so wasteful. And I started making my own clothes around this time and was just fascinated by how, because I had stitched every single stitch and was so careful with all the details, I was making clothing that would last years and years. And handmade clothing does last a long time just because you're putting so much extra care into it. And so when I was about 17, I decided I would try and see if I could make or buy clothes secondhand and not buy anything new, because not only would it save me a bit of money, but I would therefore be able to create a more sustainable wardrobe. And that's kind of like why I think sewing is such a great skill to have, because not only can you make clothes that last for a long time and therefore you won't be throwing away as often, but if you do have clothes that are falling apart that you've bought, you have the skills to be able to fix them and give them a longer life. So for me, sewing is like, yeah, it is such a sustainable way to have, make clothing. And then also at the same time, I was like, yeah, around 17, I was also very curious about like, well, I've got this item of clothing I've bought, but that didn't just magically appear. Who actually created the garment?
Yeah.
Were they paid well? Were they in safe working conditions? Like, all of these questions were popping up, and people who were like blogging at the time were talking about it a bit more. It was more like a conversation that was happening. And so that also kind of made me want to just stop buying clothes from companies that I'm not sure how they're actually sourcing the clothes or if they're supporting sweatshops and things like that. So I thought it was just best to make my own clothes, and that way I know, you know, it's been ethically made, and support small handmade businesses where I can as well. Yeah, I think it's just an important thing to think about. And again, handmade clothing and making your own clothes is a great way to start.
Well, you don't just make your clothes from fabric that you buy from Spotlight, or you tend to make things from bed sheets and curtains and tablecloths, things people naturally wouldn't think about making clothing from. Isn't that how Rosary Apparel actually started?
Yes. Yes,
you were making clothes and selling them.
Yes. And I, again, to make them more sustainable, wanted to make them from 100% recycled fabrics. So that's how I started Rosary Apparel, making clothing from bed sheets, tablecloths, curtains, like you said, and, yeah, selling them.
But then the model changed. So you stopped making clothes and selling them, and then you started doing video tutorials, patterns and sewing kits.
Yep. That was all Rosary was making collections of clothing and selling them, which I loved. It was so fun. I had to work at the same time as doing that because there wasn't enough to support me full time, because there are only so many dresses you can make in a week or a day.
You were your own little sweatshop, Janelle.
Yeah, I was, definitely. I was at the machine all the time. And so I started making videos to go alongside it, kind of to show the process of what it's like to run a small handmade label. So I started making behind the brand videos to kind of give like a little look into what it's like to work at Rosary Apparel, and all the projects I was working on. And then from that, I started making more tutorial type videos, which really kind of took off, and people were able to find my videos through them because they're searching for how to make certain things, and so my videos would pop up. And so then making videos kind of took over the making the dresses, because a lot of work goes into making videos, a lot of planning. So I wasn't able to do both, and I also was getting a little bit tired of making the same items over and over. And through the videos now, I'm able to make new things all the time. It's always different. It's never boring or repetitive at all, because I'm always making something different. And it kind of just suited me a little bit better. So, yeah, and then once I brought the patterns into the situation, which the patterns are all pretty much the clothes I used to sell, so the designs I used to sell when Rosary Apparel just started, is what I'm now slowly turning into the sewing patterns, so you can make them for yourself. Yeah.
And, you know, every business goes through those pivots. So, you know, in the beginning, maybe that was the great model for you, was to make clothes, but now you can branch your artistic talents into other areas.
Yeah.
And when you have your own business, you can do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I will talk about your videos in a second, but just in terms of style, everything you create, from your website to your Instagram to your YouTube channel, has such a Janelle-ish vibe to it, and people get so much joy out of it, as you know. So how would you describe your aesthetic?
I love that you use the word Janelle-ish, because my family and friends use that word, because they can definitely tell when something is Janelle-ish. I definitely have things I'm drawn to and colours I'm drawn to and things like that. I would say my style is, it's quite like girly, I guess. It's very colourful, but it's not so much the primary colours. It's more the more muted tones. So instead of yellow, like bright yellow, I'm more drawn to the mustard tones. Mm. And instead of bright green, I like the more sage and mint greens, things like that. So definitely colourful, but definitely has a more muted colour palette. I don't know about the actual style. I'm drawn to lots of different styles, but again, they all seem to go really nicely together.
I also liken your palette to a spice market. So even looking in my pantry, when I see my cinnamons, turmeric, mustard, I'm like, that's Janelle.
Yep, definitely.
So I'd love to talk about how you then produce these videos. So even right now, how do you decide what your next project will be?
For the last couple of years, I think, I don't know how long I've been doing it, but I've been doing kind of like seasonal plan videos. So I will think of a whole heap of projects I might want to do that season and share a video about it. And I find that's really helpful because you kind of narrow down sort of the projects you may want to make in a season. And then instead of being overwhelmed of like, oh, what do I want to make? You kind of already have a plan written down of the things, all the different items you want to add to your wardrobe. And it's also a good way to look at your wardrobe and be like, okay, what's missing? What, like at the moment it's winter here. So I'm like, what do I need to add to my wardrobe that I can, that can make the clothes I already have, like my dresses,
complement them.
Complement, yeah, and be able to be worn in the colder months as well. So I want to make another coat. I am obsessed with making coats at the moment, so already I've got another coat project planned. But yeah, I feel like that really helps because it means I've got kind of a list of things that I'm like, cool, I will work on those this season, and then it's just, what do I feel like working on this week? And I can kind of pick from the list.
So you're not thinking of summer at the moment. You're still thinking about winter and keeping warm?
Yeah. I'm very much in the moment is what I'm sewing. So if I'm cold, I'm sewing things for the cold. I can't think too far ahead. Otherwise, I just get way too overwhelmed.
You've no doubt probably nailed your formula by now. So what goes into, what are the steps involved in making a video? How do you start?
So to start with, it's a whole lot of planning. So making sure you've got the fabric for the project, what the project's going to be, is the fabric washed and ready to go? Also, if it's like a tutorial, all the steps I need to make sure I show in the video. And so then I will actually film the video, so film the whole making process. And usually I'll film way more footage than I actually need just to make sure I've covered everything. And then in the editing process, I'll go through all that footage and cut it all together, mainly keeping the most important parts and speeding up some of the others or slowing down some parts if it needs a bit more detail. And then once all the footage is cut together, I will do a voiceover. So usually I will write a script. So I'll watch the video, write down all the notes I need to mention in the video, and then record it and then edit that on top. And then I'll also film a kind of sit down introduction of what the video is about, and then put that in at the end. But that's just if it's a tutorial. Sometimes if it's like more a sew with me type video, it will be like a vlog style. So I'll just film the whole process from the very start and talk my way through everything as I'm doing it. They're a lot of fun to make, actually. They're probably my favorite to do just because there's not as much work in the editing side. It's just more the, you're just sewing and sharing your whole experience as you do it.
And you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's the fun of it too. Like, it could work out. It could be a complete fail, but that's okay.
I watched this video of you packing your patterns in fast motion. And even I was exhausted after you were done.
Yeah.
Are you still a one-woman show, or do you have people that help you now?
No, yeah, I'm one woman. Obviously, my husband, he helps me out a bit taking footage of my outfits and photos and things like that. But apart from that, I do everything myself, I'm pretty sure. I get a little bit of help with my pattern making process, but that is it. All the rest, all the packaging of the orders, all the editing of videos, the pattern making itself is all done by me.
Even the grading, everything.
Yes. Yes. I grade them myself.
Wow. Yeah. And do you do that in Illustrator?
Well, I do it by hand. So this is where I do get a bit of help. I do the grading by hand myself. And then like I said, I'm turning the designs I was already selling into patterns. So the grading was done a long time ago and I'm just kind of perfecting it to make it into a pattern. And then I do get them drawn up via Illustrator, but that's where I actually get some help. I actually pay someone to do that for me because I'm not that good at it and I actually find it really boring as well. So that is the one part I do pay someone to do.
Would that be the most technical, challenging part of making a pattern, is getting that grading right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That takes a lot of time.
Does it ever feel very overwhelming? Or is that why you have all these long walks in the afternoon?
I need my walks for sure. Like it's all quite overwhelming. Even the video making, sometimes a video can be made, like sometimes I can make three videos in 1 week, and then sometimes a video will take a month to make. Sometimes really hard to plan it well so that I've got shorter videos and longer videos happening kind of at the same time. And sometimes I've got lots of long videos happening at the same time, and that can be really overwhelming. Yeah, keeping on top of everything is a real challenge, but yeah, you just have to get you get better at it. Like you get better at planning your time, and that helps a lot. But yeah, I think anyone, if you talk to anyone who has their own business, I think most of the time they're overwhelmed. It's a lot of work.
Especially with one person, like you said, yourself and maybe Matt helping and then a grader. It's a lot of work, but you make it look effortless and
Well,
dreamy.
it's definitely not. And I hope it comes across that it is a lot of work because, yeah, I don't want to
It's
fool anyone into
rewarding.
thinking it's
No.
really easy. It's definitely not, but it's, yeah, so rewarding, so worth it. And I love waking up every single day and working on it. So, yeah.
So let's talk about YouTube and Instagram now. More than 337,000 people around the world have subscribed to your YouTube channel. I honestly love being that fly on the wall, seeing where you live, what shops you go to, what you do at home, your sewing room. Did you ever think the world would be so interested in your everyday life?
No, not at all. No way. I'm so grateful that people were interested in what I have to share. I did not think for a second that this was ever going to happen. Yeah, it's so many people. So many people subscribe to my YouTube channel, and I don't know. I can't. It doesn't get old. Like I wake up every day and I'm like, how is this my life now? And because of all the people following me, I get to do what I love every single day. So yeah, I'm just so grateful.
So your most popular video to date on YouTube, your YouTube, with 1.7 million views, is from 2019, and it's the sewing projects to make in under 10 minutes, which was the first of many in that series, actually. I think it was even the video that you had your how to make a scrunchie method, which absolutely blew people's minds. I'd never seen that technique before either. Were you surprised that was your number one video?
I remember, I think a video I was working on at the time was taking longer than expected. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to think of it, because I was working at Spotlight pretty much full time at this time as well. And I had a day off and I was like, what can I film in this one day so I can stick to my weekly upload schedule? And I was like, I know, I'll just film a bunch of really quick projects and put it all into one video. And that's what I did. It took me only a day to film, and I pretty much edited the whole thing in that day as well. And there was something wrong with my microphone that day, so that video actually sounds really muffled. And I was like, doesn't matter, it's just going out anyway, I'm gonna put it
Gotta stick
out.
to that
And then it,
schedule.
yeah, and then it ended up getting so many views. I'm like, far out. It's the one video that sounds really rubbish, but oh well.
What
I
did you learn from
can't
that
control that.
then? Obviously, it's like there's tea towels, there was scrunchie, just basic things, but
Get a
things
tote
that
bag.
people with maybe little sewing experience could easily jump into as their first project.
And I think that's why it did well, was because it was just a collection of really simple projects that anyone can do. You know, you may not get them all done in 10 minutes like I do, but that's not the point. They're very easy and they're pretty quick. Like you could definitely get them done in an afternoon at least. And I think it just really appealed to people. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'll do more. And so I think there's like maybe seven or so now of them up on my
And
channel.
they're all quite popular.
They are.
I love all your videos, but I really enjoy watching the reveals. So you might do a season reveal or a year reveal of all the makes that you've done. So your second most popular video with 1.3 million views was showing everything that you made in 2020. Do you
That
enjoy
was
doing
crazy.
those videos as much as we love watching them?
Oh yeah, I mean, who doesn't love bragging about the clothes they make? Like, it's so much fun
Who
to
doesn't
put
like
all the
looking into
clothes.
people's wardrobes?
That too. But yeah, I find it so satisfying, like putting all of the clothes I've made, whether it's a whole through a season or the whole year, together and talking through them all. It's just so satisfying and fun to do. And yeah, that 2020 video that just blew up, like, and it was over Christmas time.
That was COVID, right? As well.
Yeah, so that was the COVID year.
People were buying sewing machines, you know, fabric.
Yeah. Sewing was like the new thing to be doing. Well, not the new thing, but like it definitely got
it resurrected.
Very popular. Yeah. And that video just, it went crazy. And it was over Christmas time. And I was just like checking my phone and it would just be like, you just made another 5,000 subscribers. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And then I realized that video just, really took off and people loved it. And again, that was kind of one of those videos that I was like, I remember talking to Matt about it. I was like, I don't know, I've got this idea. I want to like show all the clothes I made for my wardrobe this year. Do you think people would be interested? And he was like, yeah, I don't see why not. Just make sure it's like snappy. Don't talk about the one thing for too long. I'm like, that's a good point. So I made sure to like talk about each item for maximum 30 seconds and then move on to the next one just to get through them all, which kind of meant people were like, they watched it for pretty much the whole time as well, just to see all the different things I made. And because I was going through them so quickly, it wasn't too boring, I guess. So, yeah.
You're not an over-sewer either, I've noticed, because I have watched, I watched this one woman who had everything I made in whatever gear it was. And I think she had 160 things and the video went for over an hour.
Whoa. That's intense.
You're not an over-maker either. No, you kind of think about what you want to make because you want to preserve that for a long time.
I'm not making for the sake of making, that's for sure. Usually, like, I think last year I made just over 30 items for my wardrobe, which is still excessive, I'm not going to deny that, but it's I do try to think about what do I actually want in my wardrobe, what am I actually going to wear, and obviously sewing is my hobby, so I do sew a lot. But, yeah, I try to be mindful with what I'm making, definitely.
I was going to ask whether your collection just keeps growing and growing and growing or do you have a culling system? But I imagine you would.
I do, but it's not something, I don't know. Usually it will just be, oh, I've noticed I'm not wearing that item very much. I'll donate that to the op shop. It's not a, I'm going to cull my wardrobe today and get rid of 10 things. It's more...
more of a
gradual
thing,
notice I'm
it?
Not wearing something and I'll pass it on. That's more how I go about it. And sometimes, unfortunately, when it comes to sewing your own clothes, sometimes things don't go to plan. Something doesn't fit you as you hoped it would or didn't look how you had in mind. And usually I will say if something hasn't worked out as I'd hoped, but often you don't realize either until a few months later you're like, I don't actually like wearing that item because it's not comfortable or it doesn't look how I wanted it to look on me, and then I'll just donate it to the op shop. Yeah.
Well, that brings me perfectly into my next question, which was another one of my favorite videos where you made three dresses in one day and one of them, which you had such high hopes for, just did not work and everyone felt so sorry for you.
Yeah, I'm so sad.
So why is it so important then to show, you know, the reality of making something or flipping something?
Yeah, it's important to show the whole process because, like I said, sometimes things don't go to plan. And that particular dress just did not look nice at all. Like, it just, it didn't look good.
But you redid it.
Which is really sad. Yes, I did. So I held on to it and I knew I was going to try and fix it because I had a real clear vision of what I wanted that dress to be. I was using a vintage sewing pattern for it. So, and I had used that pattern in the past for a mini version, like a mini skirt version of the dress, and it turned out so cute, like it was amazing. So
was
I wanted to make
fabric though, because maybe it was the fabric.
I think the fabric had a lot to do with it, but it wasn't a plain fabric, it was a crepe floral. So I think the floral, because basically the skirt had a seam along the middle, so I was using plaid fabric for this maxi version of this same dress, and once I had that seam in the center, it looked awful. The plaid created a triangle towards my crotch, which was just not ideal. And I was really sad because I had, like I said, a really clear vision of what I wanted that dress to be. So I held on to it and I was like, I'm gonna redo it. I'm gonna cut the skirt off and do a whole different skirt to try and get what I had in mind. And by doing that, I've created a dress that I absolutely love. It's super different for me, like quite form-fitting and like a maxi-length skirt. It's quite a statement dress, so I haven't Like, I want to start wearing it this winter, hopefully, like with a few layers. I think that could be cool, like a cardigan over the top or a jumper or something, because it is quite, I'd say, quite formal dress and something I really want to wear to a wedding one day maybe or something like that. Mm. But it's really nice. It's really nice now. It was awful, but now it's nice.
A lot of people have said your videos have kicked off their own sewing journeys or given them the confidence to try something. It must make you feel so good to hear those sort of comments.
Yeah, it's the best part. I'd say it's the best part. It does not get old. Every time I get a new message or email saying how much my videos have helped, it makes all the hard times worth it. Not that there's that many hard times, but in those moments of complete overwhelm where I'm like, I don't know, can I keep doing this? I don't know. Those messages come to mind every single time. And yeah, it just means so much that someone's taken the time out of their day just to send me a really lovely email saying how much my videos have helped. It makes my day every single time. Yeah. I'm so glad that I'm able to share what I've learned over 10 plus years of making my own clothes. I love being able to do that and helping someone on their sewing journey. That's just, yeah, what I love to do.
So I really want to talk to you about your patterns now. I believe it was 2020 March where you first launched the Rosa dress.
Yes.
The first of five patterns.
Yep.
So we have the Rosa dress, the Daisy dress, the Hazel dress, the Willow dress, that's four dresses, and the Hannah skirt.
Yeah. So I love dresses, what can I say?
You love dresses. How did the launch of, you know, or even the idea of starting your own pattern label come about?
Again, I was making the clothes to sell. And it was getting tricky to do videos at the same time as selling handmade clothes. Like, I just couldn't keep up with doing both because all the clothes I sold were my own designs that I'd already graded into all the sizes. Mm. So they were there. And then my mother-in-law is an artist, and she not only sells like the paintings she makes, but she actually does workshops where she teaches people how to paint. And I remember her saying, you know, some artists are scared to share their secrets because they're scared people won't buy their paintings anymore. But actually, no one can paint like you, the artist, can. And she was just telling me this, and it just like sparked an idea where I was like, I could sell the patterns to my dresses and still sell the dresses, because I was still selling dresses when I started selling the patterns, I'm pretty sure. But I was like, oh, but then people won't buy my dresses anymore because they'll be able to make them themselves. But I realized
there's another market of people.
Yeah, and people still buy my dresses because I use vintage fabrics, and recycled fabrics. So they're like one of a kind, and you can't make the exact thing anywhere else. So that kind of like originally kind of sparked the idea. And then I was doing a live stream on YouTube, and I was just talking to the people watching, and someone there suggested as well, they're like, will you ever sell your designs of the dresses you sell, will you ever turn them into sewing patterns? And that kind of was like the second confirmation I needed of like, okay, this is a great idea. I should get onto that and actually make them, all my designs, into sewing patterns. And so that's kind of what got me on to, like, into it.
Did you Google how to make a sewing pattern commercially?
No, I did not. I did not even Google it. I was just like, I had an idea of how I wanted to do it in my mind. I wanted to get the cute little envelopes that you package them in. Like, I was very much, I wanted to have paper patterns and digital patterns. Mm. And so I already knew, the only thing I Googled was, where can I get custom envelopes made? And so I found out where I could do that. Then I designed them myself, like the little envelopes, and got them printed. And then I got into the process of like drawing all the separate pattern pieces for the different sizes I had for the dresses I was selling, actually putting them together as like a pattern. And then once I'd figured all that out and tested it, I got it drawn up by Illustrator and then got it printed. But also then I had the digital copy as well, so I could sell them digitally. And yeah, just took off from there, and I have been making patterns ever since.
Wow. There's been a lot of discussion in the sewing world about size inclusivity. Do you think you'll ever branch into larger sizes if you make any more patterns, or go back to your old patterns and then maybe regrade them into bigger sizes?
something I don't have much experience in, I'm going to be completely honest, making plus size clothing. So the size, my patterns at the moment are available in sizes 4 to 24, and I would love it to be more inclusive. I'm currently working with somebody to help me draft them and grade them into more plus size friendly sizes, but it's going to be a process. Like, it's going to take a while, so I can't make any promises when that will be, but it's definitely something I really want to expand more into, and even maybe smaller sizes too, because I've had people say they want even smaller too. So that's something else entirely. No, it's something that's very important to be talking about. And yeah, like I said, something I want to work more towards, and I am working towards, but I want to make sure it's done properly. I don't want to just do it and put it out there and it not be done well. So I'm taking my time with it, and hopefully soon, with help from this professional plus size grader, I will get there eventually.
So are you working on any new patterns now?
Yes.
Besides this dress?
I'm working on that one. I'm also working on a few others that are still a while away. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into patterns, so it will be a few months. Well, no, it will probably be more towards the end of the year or maybe even next year. But they're both dresses as well. That's just what dresses? I like to wear. I love dresses. But, yeah, they're still in the early processes, so I won't go into too much detail, because if they don't happen, that's fine too. They may not. But, yeah, I am working on patterns all the time.
I noticed one of your signature design styles is adding gathering, so to a skirt, to a dress. What do you like about gathering as opposed to darting, pleating, or adding other style lines?
The reason I love gathering so much is it's very forgiving. So it doesn't have to be perfect. It's, I think, quite easy to do as well. Whereas pleating is quite a structured look, and it, you do have to get it quite perfect in order for it to look good. If you have it, you know, one pleat's a little bit wider than the other, you can really tell. Whereas gathering can be a little bit imperfect and it still looks good. And I find it really comfortable and less structured. I don't like structure too much when it comes to sewing.
So less style lines, more volume?
I love a bit of volume, whether it's in the sleeves or in the skirt. Like, I love a good amount of volume for sure.
Your one-of-a-kind sewing kits have been so popular.
Mm-hmm.
What can people expect when they receive a sewing kit? What's in the kit?
So the kit includes one of my patterns, and then you get all the notions you need to make that pattern, whether it be zips, buttons, if it's a button pattern, you'll get your thread, and you will also get one of a kind or one of a small few recycled fabric as a part of the kit as well, because I like to only use recycled fabrics for my sewing kits, again, just to keep them as sustainable as I can. And also it means that the dress you're able to make from it is just one of a kind or one of a small few.
So where do you get fabrics from then? Are you going into the op shops or the thrift shops?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, I find them, most of them, myself in the op shops when I'm out and about op shopping, which I like to do. I do that at least once a month. I would do more, honestly. I would, if I had the time, I would. But I also love just looking on Etsy and eBay, just seeing what's available on there as well. And sometimes you can find some really good gems. And so occasionally I'll find some on there that I'll buy for the sewing kits as well.
So obviously they're all secondhand things on Etsy.
Yeah, bed sheets usually. Yeah. Usually I'm just looking at the bed sheets on there. Yeah.
We've talked about sustainability as being one of your values. So where did this kind of op shopping obsession come from? Was it from back when you said you were a teenager and you were thinking, I don't like this waste that I'm seeing with clothing?
Yeah, that was when I really got into it. My mum has been op shopping forever. She can find potential in things, and she's taught me how to be able to find potential in basically junk as well. But I remember distinctly being around 14, 15, and she'd be like, I'm going op shopping, do you want to come? And I'd be like, gross, mum, that's disgusting. Why do you do that? And then all of a sudden turning 16 and being like, mum, can we go op shopping? Like, it was a massive switch all of a sudden when I started actually thinking about sustainability and how you can use things that other people have thrown out basically and make it into something new and recycling and things like that I got really into it. And so mum and I would go off shopping all the time, and she got me hooked onto it, basically. And then, yeah, ever since, I have been off shopping, yeah, like I said, at least once a month, at least. And then when I was getting married, I bought a lot of stuff for our wedding secondhand. So I had all the wine glasses mismatching from the op shop. We had a picnic wedding, so I was op shopping for picnic baskets to have at our wedding. So I was going op shopping, I think it was once a week towards the lead up to our wedding, just because I was collecting. I had such a long list of things I had to find, and that was so much fun. And, yeah, I love a good treasure hunt. I think that's what it is. That's why I love it so much. I love finding treasure.
I've never known anyone who could turn a secondhand bed sheet into something that looks amazing. What do you look for in a bed sheet then? Because I never seem to find any bed sheets when I go into op
really?
Shops. No.
Obviously the quality is important. So I don't mind if it's too worn, because it actually has a really nice softness to it when they're worn, and it makes for some really nice clothing. You don't want it too thin though, because then it's starting to get a bit see-through. So if it's been worn too much, it's not much you can do about that. You'd have to line it or something. Obviously, I'm really drawn to fun prints. So if there's a really nice vintage floral, I'm always so drawn to that. But you can also just get some really nice plain colours as well. They have often quite a few like unique pastel colours and stuff that you can find that, yeah, are really nice as well. And yeah, apart from that, just make sure it doesn't have too many stains, because you can't often get rid of those, and then you have to cut around them, which can be a bit tricky.
I imagine the fabric would mainly be either a cotton, maybe a cotton blend, polyester.
Yes,
perhaps,
mostly cotton and polyester. Linen. Yeah, you can get quite a lot of cotton, just 100% cotton. And I always check the little tag on the bedsheet as well, which we usually say. The really old ones, the tags are long faded and you can't tell. But most of the older bedsheets are cotton poly blend, yeah.
I want to talk about your other interests now before we go into our little game, because obviously sewing isn't just your passion and your hobby. You're an avid knitter as well. I think did your mum teach you how to knit?
Yes.
She's a very talented knitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the difference then between the satisfaction of knitting a project as opposed to sewing a project?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that you get the same satisfaction out of both, but for me, knitting is a long game. So I like having a knitting project that will last me like a good 6 months or more. Yeah. It's something that I can go to at the end of the day, watch TV and do a few rows of knitting. Like, I like taking my time with it. So in that way, sewing's a little bit more of an instant satisfaction, because it's a lot quicker for me anyway. It's a lot quicker. But still, once you like finish that knitting project that's taking you nearly a year to make, there's nothing like that either. It's just so satisfying, and being able to wear it and just know it's taking you so long to make, it's just, yeah, there's something special about that. But they're both very satisfying.
You also do screen printing, which probably not a lot of, but you've got your own logo as a screen printed, which you made yourself.
I don't even know how I did that. Like, if you were to ask me to do it again, I would have no idea. It was that long ago now, and I watched a tutorial on how to do it. I bought all the stuff, and it worked out. I'm so surprised it actually
worked. It looks amazing.
Yeah, but I'm in no way an expert at screen printing. I would not even know how to get started now.
What about cross-stitching? Is that new to you as well?
I've done a bit of cross-stitching before, but I'm kind of into embroidery at the moment, which is different again. It's a bit more not as structured again. It's kind of you are just painting with thread, basically, and it's a lot of fun. And, again, that's just like a fun side hobby that I enjoy doing on the side. I'm always doing something kind of new and fun, a new fun creative hobby. I can't ever not be trying something new, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, even cake decorating. I love attempting to decorate a cake, even though I'm hopeless at it, but it's just such a fun, like, little side project. I don't know. It's really fun.
You want to try all the things.
Yeah, I really do. Like. Yeah.
What about quilting? That's another new thing that you've embarked on.
Yeah. I just have never been interested. I have never wanted to even try quilting that much. Like, I have a huge collection of scrap fabrics that I've been saving. Yeah, and saving for a quilt, like especially my vintage fabrics, I always keep a little section of it because I'm like, one day I'll want to make a quilt and put all my vintage fabrics together. But I haven't really been inspired to try, but I recently discovered a brand called, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's Project Itany, I think. And it's apparently Finnish for Project Cloud or Project Cushion, something like that. And they make the most incredible quilts. They're so beautiful. And most of them are made from Liberty fabrics as well, which just makes them even more beautiful. And that, discovering them, really inspired me to actually want to have a try. So I've started making a quilt, and I started it last week, and I've already finished the top of the quilt. So I think that goes to show just how addictive it is. Wow. I have not wanted to stop. Like, I've just been, just every time I have a spare moment, I'll just do a little bit of my quilt, and it is so fun. It's so relaxing.
Yeah, you designed it
thoroughly.
Too.
Yeah, again, very inspired by Project Itany, if that's how you pronounce it. They have a diamond quilt, and so I've decided to have a go at making a diamond quilt as well, and it's got alternating between the coloured or print fabric and then a white fabric, which looks really effective. It's beautiful. I'm so happy with how my quilt's turning out, and I was worried that I wouldn't be able to get all the pieces to line up properly, but I've managed to do it. They seem to be lining up really nicely, so I'm really excited about that. I haven't stuck to a particular pattern, so I've kind of randomized the placement of the coloured fabric, but at the same time I wanted to make sure that if I've got a pink square or diamond, pink diamond, I didn't want to have any pink ones next to it. Like, I tried to keep the colours separated. So that was tricky to figure out, actually. But I think it's been a good beginner one because it's challenging enough, but it's also just diamonds. So it's nothing too intense.
And the last other interest I wanted to touch on is travel. Because people love your travel videos as well, you know, whether you're in Japan or you're traveling around Tasmania. Mm. What do you enjoy then about doing those videos?
I definitely haven't, like, I would love to share more videos on my travels. I'm not that well traveled, just putting that out there too. I've only been to Australia. Well, I'm born in Australia, but New Zealand,
the mainland.
I've been to, and Japan, and the mainland. But I've traveled Tassie a lot lately because, you know, COVID. And I've been sharing little snippets on my Instagram especially. And yeah, I just love showing Tasmania off, basically. It's such a beautiful state, and I love just sharing just how beautiful it is. But I have shared a travel video about Japan because Japan's my favorite place. Again, I haven't been to many, but I do love Japan so much. And that was fun to put together, and it's fun to look back on as well, because that was, we were there right at the end of 2019, early 2020. So I think 2 weeks after we got home was when Australia shut the borders, which is crazy to think. So yeah, we're very lucky to get a good traveling, well, a good trip in right before COVID hit Australia.
All right, time for the quick game. You need to answer these questions either in one word or one sentence.
Okay.
If you can, if you need to justify yourself.
Yep.
Where does the name Rosary Apparel come from?
Basically, rosary with an E means a bed of roses, which I just really liked. And I liked the word rosary too.
Do you still like getting your nails done to match your clothing makes?
I love getting my nails done. Not necessarily to match my clothes, but occasionally it does happen. And it's just a happy coincidence. I love it when that happens.
Is gingham still one of your favourite types of fabrics?
Yes.
What do you love about your Doc Marten boots?
I love the juxtaposition.
Juxtaposition, yes.
Juxtaposition of a cute dress with some chunky military style boots.
That is so you. That is Janelle-ish, isn't it?
I love it.
How does your husband Matt feel about getting in front of the camera in something you've made for him?
He's good. He doesn't complain about it. No, that's a lie. He does a little bit, and then when he does it, he's like, that was fun. So
True or false? You are left-handed.
True. True-ish. Like, I am left-handed, but I've learnt to do a lot of things right-handed just because you deal with that when you're left-handed.
You don't want to get dents in your hands if you're using the wrong types of scissors.
I can only cut with my right hand. I've had to learn because I've never had access to left-handed scissors.
Oh, so wow.
I just learned how to do it right. Yeah.
Your instrumental music track in your videos gets a lot of interest from people. Is it true your husband, Matt, actually made the music?
Yes. Yes, he did. He's very musically talented, so he makes little tunes all the time. And occasionally he'll make one that I'm like, that's a good rosary song. Yeah, it's really cute.
It's very soothing. What are you listening to when you have your headphones on in your videos?
Either a podcast or an audiobook.
True or false? You studied interior design at university.
True. I did.
What clothing pieces do you prefer to buy rather than make?
I've never made activewear, so I always buy that, but I'd love to try. And jeans. But again, I'd love to try and make my own. I just don't wear trousers that much, so haven't done that yet.
True or false, you once made 7 matching outfits with pineapple fabric for you and your friends.
I think it was 8 because I made some. My brother, it was for a festival. We wanted matching outfits. I made one for my brother who was there as well, but he was hanging out with his other friends the whole time. So I don't even think he made it to the photo. They each picked their own, what they wanted, and I just made the pieces. Yeah, it was fun.
Do you think you'll ever get on the jumpsuit craze and release a jumpsuit pattern?
I used to sell jumpsuits that I called the June jumpsuit, and I have all the pieces there ready to go to make a pattern out of. I just haven't done it yet. I'm not much of a trousers person, and I love jumpsuits. Don't get me wrong. I just don't love them on me, but it's there ready to go. I just need to get my act together and actually make it into a pattern.
Last question. What video games do you like to play when you get the time, and is this Matt's influence?
Originally, yes, he got me into video games, but I used to play PlayStation growing up and I loved it. My favourite video games are Stardew Valley, which is the best, Minecraft, love Minecraft, and Animal Crossing.
Oh, I'm buying that for my son for his birthday this month.
Oh, it's so fun. It's so cute. It's just so cute and chill.
That's what I wanted. Something that wasn't like Fortnite.
Oh, yeah, no, this is so much better.
Well, thank you, Janelle. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
Such a joy to watch and learn from you, and I speak on behalf of so many people.
Thank you. That means a lot. It really does.
Thank you for listening to the Australia Sews podcast. If you know someone from Australia who would be great to have on the show, email australiasewspodcast@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram @australiasews_podcast. You are more than welcome to nominate yourself. You can also find me on Instagram @make_thrift_sew. Now, back to sewing.